Ooh, the World Cup, guys. I'm just watching the final moments of the first match of the World Cup between Qatar and Ecuador. I'm so excited, guys. I always get so excited for the World Cup. Smash like if you love the World Cup, if you get super excited. What are your predictions? So I just wanted to make a quick video just to teach you a few vocabulary words that I just thought of, and I just wanted to ask you a few questions about the World Cup, what your predictions were and stuff. So congratulations to Ecuador. It looks like they're going to win the first match. There's only 1 minute left in the game. So we'll see. Right now they're up 2-0. So congratulations to Ecuador. And so guys, the World Cup 2022 in Qatar. Qatar. I know I'm saying that in the Western way. We say here in North America, we say Qatar. In British English, they say Qatar, Qatar. Really, they say the way they say it, those people, they say it with a really back K sound. Qatar, Qatar. I think they say Qatar. I don't know. It's way back there in the throat, right? That's why it's with a Q, it's not a K. You know, a lot of languages have these sounds deep in the back of the throat, okay? So if you take a look at this mouth, this kind of like chart of the mouth, kind of the cavity here, right? It says the, I don't know what this word is here. I've never seen this word. Buccal, buckle, butch, I don't know. In English, you know, very often there are new words even for native speakers. I've never seen this word before. But this word cavity, cavity means kind of like an opening or like a kind of a hollow. Like the mouth is kind of hollow, right? This is your mouth cavity and this is your nasal cavity, right? So you see this up here, it says nasal cavity. Nasal means like your nose. So when we say the k sound, we make it at this part right here, which is called the velum. Okay, that part, it's also called the soft palate. The soft palate. Okay, so here's the hard palate. Hear a loud motorbike idling outside my house. Can you hear it? If a vehicle is idling, that means it's not moving, it's just there, but the engine is running. So it's not going anywhere, it's idling. The engine's running, right? So, guys, if you take the tongue, all right. They won. So Ecuador won the game. So congratulations to Ecuador. I love watching the World Cup, guys. I always get so excited. But if you take your tongue and you touch the roof of your mouth with your tongue, it's hard, right? It's hard. So that's called the hard palate. But if you move your tongue back, you will get to the soft palate, that soft part of the roof of your mouth. Okay, this is called the roof of your mouth. Just like your house has a roof. Well, this is the roof of your mouth. Okay, so here's the hard palate. When you go back here, you get to the soft palate. That's also called the velum. That's where we make the sounds in English, like k or g. Okay, in English, we don't have any sounds that really go further back than that. But some other languages do. It's very common for other languages to have sounds that go way far back in the throat. Right? It's weird for us English speakers to make those kinds of sounds. But a lot of languages do. Like for example, if you listen to Filipinos speak English, if you listen to them say the word okay, you know, they say okay, k. They're making the k sound pretty far back. So they're moving the k sound back here to the uvular position. So behind the velar, like that area, the velum, those sounds are called velar sounds. So k, g, right? Velar. The place behind that is called the uvular. Well, the uvular sounds, right? Because that's the uvula, right? That thing that hangs in the back of your throat, that's called the uvula, okay? So sounds that are made in that area are called uvular sounds. So, like I said, when Filipinos make the "uh" or the Arabic, the Middle East, they have a lot of sounds way back there. And very often that "k" sound is written with a "q". They might have two sounds, right? They might have the "k" sound, kind of like we have it, but then they might have another one, which is "k", way back, right? So there might be two different sounds. In English, we don't really have sounds that far. like the Middle East, they have a lot of guttural sounds. Have you ever heard that word guttural? Guttural means like sounds that you make in your throat, the harsh kind of right? Do you have that sound in your language? Right? It's way back there in your throat. You can call that as a guttural sound. It's kind of like a harsh sound. Like if you listen to Arabic speakers or the like anywhere kind of in the Middle East, they have those kinds of sounds. In English, we don't have those sounds. So it's kind of hard for us English speakers to speak with proper pronunciation in Arabic or, many lang every language has its own different sound system, right? It's the types of sounds that they use. For example, in Hindi, they have the retroflex sounds that you make by like curling your tongue up kind of behind your the alveolar ridge. Okay, so this little bump here that you can feel behind your teeth, that's called the alveolar ridge. So these retroflex sounds that you find in Hindi, like d, t, r. In English, we don't have anything similar to that, r, right? So when we try to say those sounds, it's just weird. We can't say them right, right? For example, the word for car in Hindi is gari, gari, r, gari. It's that back sound, right? In English, we might say like gadi, gadi, because our D is made right on the alveolar ridge. But in Hindi, they have the front D with a duh, more like where your tongue is at your teeth, and the back one. They have two different ones. We just have one kind of a lazy D right on the ridge, duh, duh. So I don't know, it's a bit weird. But other languages too, like Ukrainian, Russian, they have the nasalized sounds, right? Remember what nasal means? Nasal means nose, so they make a lot of sounds up here in the nose. Nya, nya.
Hello, and welcome to Mad English TV. How are you?
It's like it almost sounds like the sound is being made in their nose. That's just the language system, right? That's how their lang that's the sounds that their language uses. When we hear it, it almost sounds like they're plugging their nose, right?
Hello, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like we have a hard time as English speakers making sounds up here, because in English we don't have very many sounds up here in the nose. Some languages have a lot of sounds up here in the nose. Some languages have a lot of sounds back in the throat. Some languages are like the clicking. Those ones are the craziest languages. That's cool. I wish I could make the clicking. Have you ever heard the African clicking languages? Like, I can't even, not even gonna try to make those clicking sounds. They're crazy. They're cool. They're cool sounds. So anyway, every language has their own system, and that's why it's hard to have proper pronunciation. I probably would never be able to have proper pronunciation if I were to speak Ukrainian or Russian or Arabic. Maybe it might be hard for me to make those sounds. So anyway, guys, that's there's your phonetics lesson now. So anyway, on to my World Cup questions. I just wanted to talk about that sound and teach you the word, like guttural. Now, if you hear someone talk about a guttural sound, it means like a sound. That's a harsh sound, right? So anyway, who do you think will be the dark horse of the tournament? Okay, have you heard this word before? This dark horse, this term, what does it mean? It's a perfect term to use in a situation like the World Cup, right? Now, what it means, it's referring to a team or a person. But in this case, in the World Cup, it's referring to a team that is not expected, where nobody knows anything about them. Maybe they're not expected to do very well, but suddenly they do really well. And they're, whoa, where did that team come from? We weren't expecting them to do well, right? Like, everybody's expecting Germany, Brazil, Spain, England. Everybody's expecting them to do pretty well. But imagine a country like Ecuador. Do you know anything about Ecuador? Do you even know anything about the country? I hope I can go to Ecuador. I know a little bit about Ecuador. But most people don't know much about Ecuador. Most people, what about Canada? Right? Is Canada a soccer nation? No, this is only the second time Canada's made the World Cup. And they never scored a goal back in the 1980s during that World Cup. So Canada has never scored a goal at the World Cup. So are people expecting Canada to do well? No, they're expecting Canada to lose the group. So if Canada makes it out of their group, and let's say Canada goes all the way to the semifinals, people would be like, whoa, they're the dark horse of the tournament, right? So, I mean, when we use this term, it doesn't necessarily mean that the team needs to win. It just means that they need to do more than what people were expecting. They need to do, like, if they succeed, like if Canada were to make the semifinals, that would be a huge success for Canada, right? Or for countries like Ecuador or Australia or Qatar, right? I'm butchering it, right? That's why that's why in English we have words for countries that aren't even the real name of the country, right? Like Germany isn't Germany. They don't call it that. They have a different word for it. France, they don't pronounce it this way, right? Or other countries, they have a completely different name. Or like Albania, for example. It's a completely different word. It also has a Q in it, some dots. Albanian has a lot of dots, right? So these countries have different names, and we give them our own name, English name, so that we can pronounce them properly, right? Because we butcher. English speakers tend to butcher. To butcher something means you pronounce something badly. Right? Actually, the real meaning of to butcher is to kill an animal or something, right? You butcher it. Whereas if you butcher a language, that means you just destroy your pronunciation is terrible, right? So I'm butchering the country of Qatar because I can't say that properly. So I'm butchering it. But I admit that I'm butchering it, right? Because I can't say it. We can't. So we say Qatar or, you know, India. India, the actual name of India, they call it Bharat. In India, Hindi speakers call it Bharat. All right, that's their word. The Hindi speakers are in the north of the country. I don't know what the South Indian languages call it. But I don't know. The different countries have different names for their country, all right? And when we English speakers, just when we try to say the name of the country, we just pick the easiest ones, right? So for example, Germany, that's easy for us. We can say it. It doesn't stretch our pronunciation limits, right? But the real names of like France and all of these, a lot of different countries, I don't even want to try because I'll end up butchering the name of that, right? So who do you think is going to be the dark horse? Let me know in the comments. You know what my prediction is? My prediction is that Canada will be the dark horse of the tournament. All right, nobody's expecting Canada to do well, but I'm predicting, got my Canada hat here, I'm predicting that Canada is going to be the dark horse. So who do you think will win the World Cup? Also, let me know that down in the comments. I'm predicting that Canada will win the World Cup. Not only will they be the dark horse, they will actually win. So let me know if you love my prediction. Actually, I posted my World Cup predictions over on my Instagram account. last night. So if you want to see my World Cup predictions, go over on Instagram. Thank you to all my followers over on Instagram. I love you guys so much. So the third question I want to ask you, who do you think will crash out? Who will crash out of the tournament? You know what this phrasal verb means, crash out? To crash out means it's like the opposite of dark horse. In dark horse, you're not expected to do well, but then you end up doing really well. When you crash out, you're expected to do really well, but you fail. You just crash and burn, right? So I'm predicting that France is going to crash out of the World Cup without scoring a single goal. That's my prediction, all right? So that would be a huge surprise, right? France, people are expecting France to do so well. If they don't score a single goal, people would be, whoa, they crashed out. They crashed out of the World Cup, right? So my prediction is that France will crash out of the World Cup. But that doesn't mean I don't love my French subscribers. Thank you guys all for subscribing. Sorry for that bad prediction. But that's my prediction, all right? Leave your honest predictions down in the comments. Who do you think will be the dark horse? Who will win and who will crash out? Unfortunately, I think this is the year for France to crash out. But let me know, who are you rooting for in this World Cup? Who are you rooting for? Rooting for, this is another way to say cheering for. Very often we use this word in sports. If you are supporting a country, like if you are, I don't know. I mean, many countries are in the World Cup. Countries like Senegal, you know, what other countries? Argentina, you know, US, Iran, right? If you are from those places, you're probably supporting your team. You're probably rooting for your own country, right? But most of the countries don't have their country at the World Cup. Because, I mean, the world has about 200 countries, right? There are not 200 teams in the World Cup, right? So you're probably from a country that is not in the World Cup. So if that's the case, but you might still be cheering for someone, right? So who are you rooting for this World Cup? I'm curious to know. So let me know that down in the comments. Guys, I just love you so much. I just wanted to make a quick lesson to talk about this because I'm excited. All right, you can tell I'm excited about the World Cup. I've got my iPad set up here. Ooh, low battery. Only 5% remaining. Better charge my iPad here. This was the only game today, but in the next few days, there's going to be 4 matches per day. I'm excited about that. So guys, we have to wait a few more days yet before Canada makes its debut. The word debut, it's kind of a weird looking word, right? It looks like debut. No, it's debut. Okay, before Canada makes its debut in a few days against Belgium. Ooh, that'll be a tough match. That'll be a great match to watch. I'm excited for that, guys. So let me know your thoughts, your predictions. And thank you for joining me. Really appreciate that. I hope you guys are having a great day. Stay safe, stay happy. And I hope you enjoy the World Cup as much as I'm going to enjoy it. So with that, I'll bid you farewell. And I'll see you guys over in the next episode of Mad English TV. Take care.